I have people to come here and they criticize. They go away and they say things ignorant and blind, not realizing that in that they've done it to me, they've done it under God Almighty. That even if it was the very least one to do it under the body, you've done it under God. He'll charge you with it. But when the minister's there, that is God speaking with the power to bless you or curse you, to cut you off or to bring you in, and to remit your sins or to retain your sins. So, it's bad. They go away and they say, cult. I told my wife the other day, through their ignorance, esteeming themselves as to brilliance and believing they know something when they don't know something as they ought to know, they go away and in their ignorance, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. And in their ignorance, they brand this thing a cult when God himself from heaven has spoke to them. And it would be anything but a cult, as you would say, as to godliness. A cult, I say again, is something where they do not teach the word of God. Anything that does not teach the word of God fully is a cult. It doesn't matter if it is an organized religion that has been here for many years, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, whatever, it is a cult. All of these organizations that brand this as a cult, you know why they brand it as a cult? It is because they are the cult. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just speaking back to retaliate. I'm just stating a fact. The Pharisees, the scribes, called Jesus the cult. Called him a bastard child. You know why they did it? Because they were the bastard children. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. And they knew that he was of God. And that that thing was of God. And they wanted to kill it and kill the influence of it. Jesus said as to circumcision in the flesh, as to the thing you practice is just to glory in people's flesh. That is to have your little society of your own. That's all those things are for. He said it has to be circumcision of heart, of the putting away of darkness and evil. So then, all of those things are cult. The great papacy, the great pope that's coming to America this year, that will be speaking to millions of people. You might not believe it, you might not accept it, but the Catholic Church is the biggest cult that's ever been in the world. It is Mystery Babylon. There's numbers of you that was brought up in the Catholic Church. You went to the Catholic school, numbers of you here that has done that. Even my own son-in-law, Frank, went to a Catholic church. He come up in a Catholic church. Brother Al Gonzalez was devout Catholic. And numbers of others. And I say this with great respect to you. Not to be offensive. But as I live before God, it's the truth if I had to die right here. It is the biggest cult that has ever been in the history of mankind. And that means that the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, whether it is any other church, you can call it Church of God, UPC, or anything else. It doesn't matter what it is. If it is an affiliate or a branch off as a daughter of that church through Martin Luther's Protestant or protesting, it is a cult. Anything that will not teach the Word of God is a cult. It doesn't matter what it is. And that is why that those things rise up against this. It's because we preach the Word of God. And they know that they're not teaching the Word of God. Somebody says, well, I believe they are. Well, tell me, why is it that they do not baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin? Why do they not teach baptism according to the Word of God? It's because they are a cult. If the Lord Jesus was standing here, he'd tell you in a minute, a cult is something that does not teach the Word of God. So then they're not teaching the Word of God. You say, well, they are teaching some of the Word of God. I agree to that. And if they're, as in the past, if they are ignorant, and do not understand any more than they have, God will accept of them as he did in the history, the early history of the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and whatever, in the time of John Wesley and some of the devout leaders, God will accept that of them as to their ignorance. But in the day that we're living in, it's like the law. They state that ignorance is no excuse for not obeying or knowing the law. The Bible speaks of the heavens and the earth being filled with the knowledge of God, and that the heavens would declare his handiwork. If in the days of Enoch, before the coming of the gospel, as we would say, if in the days of Enoch they understood by the handiwork as to God enough to be translated, then is God going to hold us excusable in this day? Whether it's the Methodist, whether it's the Baptist, whether it's the Pentecostal, whether it's Brother Pike's work out here, or whatever it is, little Bethlehem that is, God is not going to let us have an excuse. Thou art inexcusable, the Bible said. There's too much light. There's too much knowledge. You know better. You know what to do. You know what to do. That's like my own wife's mother. She is over 80 years old. I don't know how old, 85. I don't know how old. 83, 84. Okay, 84 years old. Now, folks, if she at 84 years old, having been Baptist all of her life practically, and you couldn't have moved her with a team of horses, she said, you're what you are and I'm what I am. Same way my wife was when I married my wife. She said, I'm Baptist, and you're what you are. And it stayed like that for a good long while until she got her eyes open. But if my wife can come to this, and her mother, especially her mother at 84 years old, can walk out into water and be baptized in the name of the Son of God for the remission of sin, God is going to hold these leaders and these organizations, he's going to hold them guilty. If Sister Margaret can come from Texas down to New Iberia and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, when she's got two Presbyterian preachers in the family, God is going to hold you accountable if you aren't baptized in the name of the Lord. And these organizations, he's going to hold them accountable. They have went to college. They've read that Bible through and through. They've read baptism in Jesus' name numbers of times and absolutely won't go to it and won't do it because they're not preaching the truth and because they're not walking straight. So in the early history of the churches, I can say that God has been lenient. He's given grace. In the early history of the people, he's given grace because they've been ignorant. If they did anything good or anything right or understood any part of the Bible, God accepted it. And he blessed them because they were like little children. You know, they just couldn't hardly, like a little child, he can't hardly walk, he stumbles. He can't hardly talk, he puts up his little hand for somebody to help him. The parents are very merciful. But you don't expect a man 35 years old to go around quibbling when he knows how to talk. You don't expect him to put up his hand, he says, I can't hardly get up, give me a helping hand. Unless something physically is wrong with him, you don't expect that. See, that would be ignorance for that man to do that. He'd have to be a mental case or something would have to be wrong with him. And see, that's the way it is with you. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I'd done those childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So see, God is expecting you and he's expecting me to do one thing, and that's to honor him and obey him. And the man with the keys to the kingdom said, repent of your sins. That's number one. What I say to one, I say to all, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, Brother Pike, Bethlehem, whoever. I told you to repent. He said that to your assembly, wherever you go, whoever you are. He said that to your assembly, repent. He didn't say join the church. Give the man your right hand to fellowship. He said repent. Which means to be godly sorry of your wrongs and of being contrary to God. Somebody says, well, I'm a fine person and it has nothing to do with it. In God's sight, you are a wretch. And he said, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind if you're without God. Having a name that you live and yet you're dead. That is, we're Baptist, we're Methodist, we're Presbyterian, we're Pentecostal. He said, that's names that you live. But said, you're lukewarm, you're dead. Some of you twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were cold, that is, in the world and didn't know nothing about God, that I might have mercy on you. I would that you were hot, that you would be filled with the Spirit of God and burning like a flame for God, that I might bless you. But because you are a religious generation, you stand at the door and you don't never go into the Spirit. You got some kind of formality. Like somebody said the other day, you got basketball religion, somebody said. You stand at the door and you're not going to get into the Spirit. You're not going to get into the knowledge of God. You're not going to get into the understanding of God. You're just going to be religious. You're going to soothe your conscience as to feeling that everything is all right when everything is all wrong, and you're going to cause God to send you strong delusions, let you believe a lie and be damned, making you think that you're all right when you're not all right. He's going to send you strong delusions. He's going to be disturbed at you. He's going to be upset and send you these strong delusions, and you're going to Pentecostally think you're all right. Or you're going to think as a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic that you're all right when you're going to hell. You understand what I'm saying, folks? So then I tell you the truth from the bottom of my heart. He said, repent. And the next thing he said was to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He said that to the Methodists. Somebody said, well, we don't teach baptism like that. Well, it's the time that you started teaching it like that. It's time that the Baptists started teaching it like that. And it's time that the Methodists started teaching it like that. And it's time the Catholics started teaching like that. Because there's only one baptism that this Bible teaches, and that's the baptism. And there is no other baptizing. So then if you baptize any other way, you're wrong. And these people that take you in and sprinkle you, that was back under the law as to be sprinkled with fire. There is no such biblical teachings in the New Testament. That is the most absurd thing of anything I've ever heard. That's plain ignorance. If you ever had ignorance, folks, them that do that, that is plain ignorance. To take some water and sprinkle it over you. Now, they did that over little babies in the Old Testament. But that is the biggest act of ignorance that I could ever think of. In the light of the fact that you've got the Bible that tells you better, and you call yourself a preacher. So, you are supposed to be baptized. And we've spoke of it a number of times, going back to some of the Greek renderings as to baptismo, and some of the words that is used, which means to plunge under, not to sprinkle some drops on top of you. To go under, I've said this a number of times, not to be arrogant, not to be funny, but to be truthful and godly. I think that we would have a bad situation if all of them people over yonder that's in the grave had just been sprinkled with a little dirt. I've got a feeling that this community might not be... Well, I don't think the fragrance of it would be just exactly like you'd want it. When you have a dog to die, you just take him and sprinkle him. You know, when you are baptized, the Bible said you are baptized for the dead. And you are buried. And water is a grave for the sailors, for people that are out in boats. They bury them at sea. And you are put under the dirt when you are buried. And this thing of people being baptized and rebaptized is a bunch of foolishness. You don't bury a man and dig him up and rebury him and dig him up. And every time they have a baptism, you know, somebody said, I want to be rebaptized. That's crazy. You say, well, my preacher did it. Well, that's because he's a grave robber. When a person is buried, they are buried. They are buried, and you don't dig them up. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, I've said this a lot of times. That's the reason there's so much stink in the church. When you dig people up and re-dig them up, you're not going to have a very good atmosphere. If you're baptized and you feel that you haven't been baptized the right way, you need to be baptized over. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, it's for sure your baptism ain't worth 15 cents. You've just been down to the pool like anybody else, and you've been in the water, and that's all it amounts to. Remission is not in that water, it's in the name. Baptism is for the remission, but the remission is in the name. And the man that does it is he that is qualified to do it. So, if you've been baptized, and if it wasn't by a real, genuine man of God, then you haven't been baptized properly. You can be rebaptized. If you haven't been baptized in the name, you can be rebaptized. The 19th chapter of Acts, Paul rebaptized. See, and if things isn't right, you're not satisfied, then you can be rebaptized. But the thing of just being rebaptized every time they have a baptizing, you know, you don't need to do that. Somebody said, well, the Bible said repent, Brother Pike, and do your first works over. I've explained that a number of times. Baptisms ain't your first works. That's the preacher's works. You're not doing your first works over. God was just telling you to get rid of all the evil in your life. Do your first works over and go on unto perfection. So I tell you these things because I love you and I want to help you. And if she at 85, that is my mother, my mother-in-law, if she can be baptized, it's for sure that you can be baptized. I thought that was real courageous in her doing that. So we come together to talk with you, to try to exhort you to more as we see the day approaching, to try to help you, to make you understand. Because it's a sad situation as to the day we're living in. And many people are departing from the faith, faith by the hearing of the Word of God. They're departing from the Word of God. I have said that to substantiate this, that those people that will not preach the Word of God and practice the Word of God, they are cults. All of them are cults. I, as one individual, as just a single individual, as it was in the days of Noah, I condemn and indict every organization in the world and every individual in the world that will not wholly preach and practice the Word of God. For they are cults, and they are demons, and they are devils, and they are evil, and God will burn every one of them with fire. So then, only they that preach and practice the Word of God are true children of God and true teachers of righteousness. The Pharisees, the scribes, they did all those things as to the religion of that day and as to the law, but they still were condemned. And Jesus said, children of the devil. So, this is not a cult. If you have relatives, if you have friends, you have people that misunderstand, you need to write them with all reverence and respect. That's not to offend them. And explain to them and tell them how misled they are and how wrong they are. And turn the thing around. And then say, now let's just put the shoe on the other foot. You so freely say that this is a cult. Now let me tell you that what you're in is a cult. And see how they like that. Anybody that don't have enough of this and enough of backbone in Christ to reverse the thing and let them know how they feel, then they don't have enough. They need to get born again. Because when you get this, the Bible said we're set for the defense of the gospel and the truth. And when you get this, you'll call black, black, and white, white. And the Bible said, warn to that person that calls good evil and evil good. You say, well, why do they call it a cult, Brother Pye? Because they are blind. And because they're practicing the things of the world. And because they love the things of the world. And they don't want to come to the light lest God reprove them. And to acknowledge what Brother Pike is preaching, they've got to deny what they believe. And to deny what they believe, that means they got to get the lipstick off and get the ear bobs out of their ears and the short knee dresses up above their knees, get the dresses down in full length and get holy and let the hair grow out a little bit. Speaking of the ladies, let the hair grow out a little bit to look like a woman, like they ought to look, and stop running around like a Jezebel. Look like somebody that the embalmers got a hold of and rubbed the rouge into their cheeks. See, they've got to change that. That's why they can't acknowledge that this is the truth. It puts them on the spot. Same way with the men. The men can't practice their foolishness. They can't go into the pulpit, and that's what it is. They've made it a pit to pull for money. You know, and they can't go into the pulpit to pull for their regular offerings and to do what they want to do, and they can't run around and hold the ladies' hands, you know, like a pretty boy, and they can't spend all of their time like I've seen them at the door, stand at the door, and every time a woman comes out, they grab her hand and they rub her hand and say, "We're so delighted to have you. I've seen this. I've stood there," you know, and watched them do it with a regularity. I've seen them almost run from the sacred desk out the door to get to the front door. You know, and everyone, they go through this routine. And they can't do that. You know, this tells them that it's not even good for man to touch woman, unless it's the wife. And unless it's a godly thing, see, God stops that. So they can't play around with the missus. And that's where the problem comes in. You know, and they can't go to the movies on the side. They can't smoke their cigarettes on the side. They can't puff on their pipes. They can't do the things they want to do. Go out and frolic and play golf and all these other things and mix the world with it. They can't do it. And that's why they say it's a cult. It's a cult. And you know, to show you how ignorant folks really are, it's like when 11 Alive did something here concerning Bethlehem. Snakes in the grass, news medias, very seldom you ever find a real straight one, but you do find some that are straight, sneaked in here like a snake in the grass. And I warned them when they come here, because God showed me what this is going to do. But we don't have anything to hide. We don't have any skeletons in the closet. So two or three of them come in here. Now I want to show you how ignorant people are. I want you to listen to me, folks. I want to show you how ignorant people are. Somebody says, "Bless God, nobody don't tell me what to do. I do what I want to, Brother Pike. I understand. I went to college. I got an education. But I want to show you how ignorant people are." Two people come out here. They were nice folks. They were men that lived back over here at Good Hope, across from you, close by. Pretty nice folks. Nothing above the average that I saw in them in their intelligence. As a matter of fact, some of them wasn't the average intelligence. And they come out here with a couple of cameras and went all over the place and lay down on the floor and shot the pictures of the preacher and went outside and went back to the station, and they had a bunch of cults. That was cults. You say, "How do you know there were cults?" They had a bunch of cults that they had filmed, so far as the films was concerned. He said, "Well, how do you know there were cults?" Well, they were playing with snakes. They'd bite a chicken's head off, you know, or maybe drink the blood. You said, "Well, why do you call that a cult?" Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a cult. You know, if there's any such thing as a cult, you know, that ain't in the Bible for you to do. And they put all of that junk on, and the film that they had made of us, they put it on. But folks, let me tell you, though those might not have been the most brilliant people in the world, and it was a sneaky thing that they done. As a matter of fact, they made the statement, said, "This is the last of the real old-time preaching and gospel." That's what they said. Now that is how ignorant people are. And another thing to show the ignorance a people, two people, two men from a little place called Good Hope. If they had a branded a cult, and they stand up and say to all the world, we say it's a cult. Two little folks that don't even know nothing about God. I talked to them. They were glad to hear what I told them. They even made personal visits to come down to my house. Mr. Johnson and Johnson, the big fella that's over all, whatever, you know, all these things, Johnson and Johnson, powder, his daughter came down to visit with us. She was getting a film of Little Bethlehem to take back to the college. And two people, they stand up and they say it's a cult. So the president says, well, bless God, that's a cult. And the sinister says, that's a cult. And the Baptists say, that's a cult. And the Methodists say, that's a cult. Two people change the minds of the entire world as to whoever looked on it and says it's a cult. Don't you know that's ignorance, if there ever been ignorance? They won't even let the president do that. The president has to at least go through some senators or somebody to legislate something. That's the biggest ignorance that you could ever see in mankind, is to let two people come along in all of these documented things that you see on television. That's how documented they are, is that those two poor little folks, because of being deranged as to their minds programmed right, gets up there and they say, this is a cult. It is documented. We said it. That makes the document. And that's all there is. That's how ignorant people is. Businessmen, schools, doctors, lawyers. They take them two men's word. I tell you, folks, I always come to a word that I don't like to use, and I just go around it. Some of my brethren use it freely. But how can people be so whatever you would call it to think like that? How many of you agree that that is true? That's the truth, so help me God. That's the only two people. And that's the way it goes. And these people run around here thinking they're so brilliant. Bless God, that's a cult. I ain't having nothing to do with it. And I think, you poor ignorant person, you're so ignorant. And like some of them said here, they came to me when the news medias came out and they put this front page. And as far as I know, it wasn't branded a cult. But they put the front page, and later, where's it? The Atlanta Journal did that, I believe it was. Later, the Constitution or vice versa came right back and gave it another write-up. One write-up, not to discredit it, that wasn't their idea. Newsmen, they're not interested in that. They're interested in making a dollar. They want a story. They want something excited. They've got to rearrange it. They've got to put it off color a little bit or do something. Pump it up a little bit, you know. You say, oh, you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do, because I have some friends, personal friends, that are news medias and or newsmen. Like one that has been one of their most outstanding newsmen in India, of great reputation, that came to visit with me and talk with me. He was their sportsman. He said, Brother Pike said, newspaper men said they could care less about whatever, whether truth or whatever, he went on to express. He said, the thing they're after is a story, and they want to make it exciting, and they'll just rearrange it anyway, just for the money thing or whatever. He testified of it himself. Like Paul said one time, said one of their own people said they're slow, you know, testified of their own selves. He said, and they're slow bellies. He said, the report is true. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to help program your mind this morning and talk to you a little more. I wasn't intending to do this. I had a revelational thing I'd like to bring out this morning, but I feel like the Lord, this is the way the Lord wanted to go. So we can let it go that way. So we see how ignorant the people are, professing themselves to be wise. The Bible said they are fools. Supposed to be educated. Don't check nothing. Don't examine nothing. Don't look for nothing. Somebody jumps up and it's like a duck that come out of the water. He flaps his wings and he honks his horn and everybody follows. They don't know where he's going. They could care less. The thing is, he's honked his horn and they're going to go with him. So I look at these things and I see these things traveling across the world. And I think, Lord, this is so ignorant. Somebody publishes a paper called the Atlanta Journal. And they're trying to make money, and anybody with any good common sense knows if you took the money out of it, you wouldn't have no Atlanta Journal. Somebody says, that's our news media. That's to tell us about things. No, it ain't. It is an enterprise to make money, and if you take the money out of it, you can forget the Atlanta Journal. You won't be getting any more papers. They could care less about you or the news or whatever. And this, I don't mean wrong, folks. I'm just using great plainness of speech, as Paul said. There's a bunch of silly college kids, girls and boys alike, and other people that's got out of college or come from somewhere, wherever they come from, and they travel all the time. They come through Bethlehem all the time. They say, we want to know if we can have a story, if we can have a write-up. I say, sure, go to it. You know, and so we had one that come from way over in Sweden or somewhere a few days back. See, and they want to write up a story for a certain magazine. When I know what they're doing, they're just running from place to place. That's the way they make their living. They get all the news they can from this or that. Or if something's outstanding, they write a story and they don't want to work, so they sell it to some newspaper, some magazine, because they're glad to buy it, because they got to stay in business. That is the magazines. At least they're a lot better off than some of you that just are a bunch of skeptics that comes to get your eyes filled and your mind filled to run off and to slobber at the mouth like an old mad dog as to tell it. At least they get something out of their story. You don't get nothing out of yours. See, they do these things and they come around. I could really cause them some problems. I got presses too. I could print millions upon millions of pamphlets, and I could make Atlanta look like the dewdrops of the morning it fell on it with so many pieces of with my people. And when I got through the Atlanta Journal and the Atlanta Constitution, they'd be wanting to make friends. I could do it. I could do it on the news medias. But that's not my part in life. I'm not interested in that. I preach freely. I tell the truth. I state it like it is to the best of my ability. See, but I'm only saying this. The Atlanta Journal got a story. Excitement. On the front page, little Bethlehem, all over the country, everywhere. Living alive, all over the country, from town to town and state to state. But when that story died down, they needed another story. So they come back, and of course in that story they told how I had that Cadillac, that fabulous Cadillac. I don't know how old the thing was. But anyway, it was done getting pretty aged. They played it up, you know. And they really played it up. That was it, Brother Taylor gave me a guitar, fabulous guitar. I didn't know it, but I done got, what is it, 3 fabulous guitars or more. But anyway, you know, they wanted to make a dollar. But the next time they come back, they had to go a new route because, see, that was old. So this time they wrote it up. The prophet of Georgia, Georgia prophet says, and this ain't nothing critical. You know, when the Atlanta Journal over here, and over here the Constitution. See, so as Brother Branham said, 6 of 1 or 6 of 1 another, which am I? Am I a Georgia prophet or am I a Georgia Hill? What am I? You know, I've often stopped and said, God, you know, with this one says, I'm one of the greatest things in the world. You're a prophet, you're an apostle, you're everything, Brother Pike. I said, you know everything, Brother Pike. Like a brother told me the other day, said, I had a dream. And in the dream said, I looked at you and said, Brother Pike, said, you're God. I said, yep, that's right. Said, and Brother Pike said, you're Jesus. I said, yep, that's right. And he said, and Brother Pike, you know everything. I said, yep, that's right. And the man was very sincere. He said that the vision, as far as he was concerned, he felt like it was of God. So I said, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. You know, 6 of 1, 6 of 1 the other. One believes it, one don't believe it. You know, say, look, here's a pie. Somebody takes a bite of the pie. Says, I took a bite. I don't believe that's pie. So, well, don't it taste like pie? Well, it tastes like pie, but it ain't got nothing to do with it. The other fellow, he takes a bite. He said, I believe that's pie. Give me another bite. So he said, whether you believe it's pie or ain't pie, don't make no difference. The thing that I'm saying is this. You know, one says, Brother Pike, he's a devil. The other says, Brother Pike, he's God. One says this and one says that. And I say, oh my God, what am I? If I was in that kind of state of confusion and didn't know, truthfully, folks, that's what I'd do. I'd go stark, raving, crazy. But you know what? I know what I am. I said, well, you tell me what you are. I'm a human being. You might not believe it when you look at me, but I am. I'm a human being. I've discovered it for myself. And I didn't have to have a college degree to discover it. Somebody said, well, you sound to me like you're mocking. You got good discernment. You got good discernment. Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal, and Baal means God of the flesh, and then people that belong to that, they need some kind of a mocking. Jesus mocked a little bit. He said, go tell that fox. So I'm just saying this. How ignorant can people be that profess themselves to be wise? They say, we're the professionals of the world. We're the learned of the world. We've got these degrees. And they profess themselves to be wise. And Jesus said, measure themselves by themselves, giving each one a little paper of some kind of silly something. They are some great something. And the Bible said, thinking themselves to be something when there ain't nothing, they deceive themselves. See, and they're supposed to be the intelligence of the world. They're supposed to be leading us. And Jesus said, professing themselves to be wise, they become a bunch of fools. And by the foolishness of preaching, God said, please them if they could be saved. So folks, tell me, you're here to judge this. You that are looking at me, and of course they're here too. But does that make any kind of sense? Even if you don't have a college education, if you just have good common sense and you came up on the farm somewhere just planting you a little collard or turnip for something to eat, does it make sense that two men out of a little old town that's hardly a town at all, just a stop in the road, come by and they make a film out of video? And while they're doing it, I don't know how much they wasted. They got a policy. They make so much film, they waste so much, it's unreal. But they do that, and then they stand up and say, documented. There you are. That's what it is. Now, you might be, and I won't say that word again. It comes up so often. But I'll say this. You might be in that kind of condition to believe that. But them two fellas has got to prove something to me. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And them two fellas has got to come and prove something to me. Them fellas talking to me didn't prove to me what they proved to everybody else. Them two fellas that talked to me humbled their heart and proved to me that they were looking for salvation and didn't know just exactly what to do and had me to talk to them about God for the longest kind of time and wanted me to talk to them more. So, here are these two fellas come and kneel at my feet. As the Bible said, I'll make them come to kneel at your feet. They come to kneel at my feet to hear. And their spirit showed that they were scared and believed what I said. And then they go out to the world with their silly game to make money. Hear ye, this is the way it is. And everybody takes a bow to them. It's like somebody said the other day, some fella came to him and told him something. Said he looked at him and said, that ain't right. So the man said, this is right. Said, no, that ain't right. And the man that told him that it wasn't right, he said, I knew that it was right. But it cut across him, so he's going to prove him wrong. And he said, lo and behold, said, before the man left, though he was right, I proved him to be wrong to the extent he said, well, I guess I'm wrong. Now that's bad, folks. That's bad. When a man ain't got enough sense to know whether he's a man or a woman. And a woman ain't got enough sense to know whether she's a woman or a man. That's bad. That's bad. And I have to admit there has been a few times when the way that they've been wearing their hair and dressing men in dresses and women in pants, and I've had to tell my wife, I just passed by and said, Betty, I'm before God, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I have, truthfully. I have looked at them for maybe 20 minutes, and I'd say, well, I know that's a woman. And I said, no, It's a man. And I said, no, it's a woman. And finally, I just quit. I said, I don't know what it is. So it's getting into a bad condition. You know, you can't tell a Christian from anything else anymore unless you have God. But I'm asking you again, does that make sense? If it makes sense to you, then them two fellas can be your leaders and you can go their way and whatever they say, well, you can let that be what it is, because that's all it was. That's all it was involved. Just them two folks. They brought the woman down with them. And that's about all it amounted to. Now, all news medias are not like that. I have had numbers of reporters in different places. In Indiana, the Kentucky paper, numbers of places that they have wrote straight. They have carried the news. They declared it as it was. And some of the write-ups was ever so fine and respectful toward God Almighty. As a matter of fact, right here in Monroe, there's a lady that I think they call that, was that the Golden Egg or wherever she lives? She's got a nice mansion here or something, home. She come out and wrote up a story on Little Bethlehem, about a 3-page story for the paper. Very fine, very fine articles. Took pictures of the interior of the church with great respect. And we've had this. We've had them on the radio to do that. We've had them on the television to do that with great respect. But as Paul said, there is the baser sort and the ignorant run of people. But you know, I'm just thankful to God of one thing. I observed all these things, and I have had the wonderful opportunity to look and see the ignorance of mankind in general. And I've said, God, no wonder they're like sheep without a shepherd. No wonder they need somebody to lead them. If two people can do a thing like that, and I've seen this in many cases, but if two people can do that and influence the entirety of mankind, as to those that are watching and those that are hearing, except those that really have God and the truth. If they can do this and people are so easily swayed and followed just anything, I tell you what, I feel that we're fortunate to have anything in the way of understanding for a president. If people are in that kind of condition, you know, if you get a president that's got any sense at all, you just rejoice. Because that's the condition that people are in. And that's what they did to Jesus. A few little Pharisees and scribes and leaders got together, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, and influenced the people and killed the Lord Jesus, the God of glory. They did that to Paul. One or two people got together and began to call him a heretic, and all of them formed against him and put him to death. They did that to John. They've always done that. See, they're gathered together against the Christ in your life. Demons and devils. So you listen to me. You get your Bible. You get the Word of God. There is not another absolute in the earth. I don't care who wrote the book. I don't care if it is history or his story. I don't care what it says. There is nothing that is genuinely authentic except the Bible. And this is a proven book. Prove all things and hold fast to it. I tell you again that you can study your history. You can be a school teacher. You can be a professor. But I've done it. I've traced it back to find out the origin of things. And when they get back as far as Egypt, that's as far as they can go. Because civilization comes from Egypt. It comes from Egypt. And when they get back that far, go and read it for yourself. They'll start saying, and Abraham and Sarah. And they go back to get the Bible. You know why? Because there's nothing beyond that. The intellectuals of today is a bunch of frauds. And as Paul said, science, that is knowledge, falsely so-called, ever learning and don't know nothing. They've made a conglomeration of a mess out of society. And they're still doing it. And the little old boy with his old dirty boots and the hole in the bottom of them that plowed the field was the people that built the society out of hard work and good common sense. And this bunch of educated philosophers has made it a slop hole. Pardon my expression. So that's the way that the religious societies of today have done. They have made the church a slop hole. And the Bible said, The tables are filled with vomit. All of the tables are filled with vomit because of their lukewarm practices. And that's why I preach like I do, and that's why that the apostles preached like they did, to preach the truth, to try to straighten out the minds of the people. Folks, there's something about humanity that they just follow something. They don't try to prove nothing. They just follow something. If he said it, they believe it, and off they go. That's why we have the problems. I'm going to close in a few minutes, but that's why we have the problems we do out of the youth about dope. I would guarantee you that the thing that has brought this on is marriages, three marriages, four marriages, five marriages, and the little child, he don't know who his daddy is or don't know who the mother is, and they don't know whether they're wanted or not. One parent says, I love you. The other says, get out. And they live in torment, and the first news you know, they hit the road, and they're little folks, and they don't know what to do, and they start conning and stealing and just trying to get a banana or anything to stay alive. And then people who are real villains that has killed, and some of these innocent children grow up to do that, not meaning to. Their minds are warped up. But real villains, escapees, or escape artists, they had, for a while, they had to camouflage their face, so they wore beards and done all kinds of things. And first news you know, we got a new style. These little ones with them are running from place to place. And people like David Wilkerson, trying to do right in his natural reasoning, just enlarge the thing as to get houses and places and places like New York so that they could lounge around and just practice their filth together and run from one place to another. And a lot of missions that meant well, opening their place to take them in and feed them. I've worked at such missions. And not thoroughly indoctrinating them with the truth, cause them just to run to and fro the more. And the government practicing giving to prostitution, or that is to support the cause or illegitimate children, just helped the thing on its way. And then the dope that came in from the foreign fields, people with oppressed minds, a man drinks to drown the sorrow. Anything that they could get a hold of just made the fire bigger. And the whole thing is a conglomeration of a mess all over the world. It's bad, folks. The Mooney thing contributed to it, giving all of those wanderers a chance to sell roses on the corner to get money to survive on. Being not an instrument of cruelty, he took control of their little minds and their conditions, knowing they were half starving, and then they had to give the biggest part of the money to him to make him fabulously rich. Those are the things that need to be attacked, torn down. They need to really get after the Jim Joneses. They said, Jim Jones, Jim Jones. I understand the president's wife was the one that supported the Jim Jones cause. See, the Jim Jones, that's what they need to get after. You say, well, where is the Jim Jones? The cults. Oh, they say, well, I never seen these people kill anybody. Well, they've been killing them by the millions. They don't kill them physically. They kill them spiritually. They take the hope of eternal life, which is 10 times 10 as to what Jim Jones done. And folks, over a period of time, it'll find its way into your physical being too. It'll bring sorrow and heartaches when the Spirit of God withdraws from you. Your body is going to become run down and it's going to be nothing but diseases. That's why all of the diseases are in the world today. Tell me why men die. Because of sin. Why does a person get old and die? I say this again, trying to hurry along here. Why? Somebody says, well, they get... Brother Pike, they're not 70 years old, 80 years old. It's just reasonable. They're supposed to get old and die. But I've said this so many times. Why is it that Enoch just didn't get old and die? Why Methuselah at 900 years old didn't get old and die? Why didn't the body wear out? Because, see, that's not what it is. The answer to it is one thing. It's a state of mind. The mind, it's the state of mind. It depends on what mind you're in as to whether you're going to live eternally or you're not going to live eternally. It's the state of mind that you're in. And I can prove that by the Bible. I can prove it. If the right state of mind is there, you will never die. There's no possible way you can die. But if somebody says, hey, that's a cult, and 10 million people said, well, he said it, I believe it, it's documented. That is to say, if somebody said, well, you're going to die, you're going to die. If somebody said, well, I believe it, everybody, we've got to die. You know, well, go on and do it. You know, every man do his own thing. If that's the way you feel about it, go on and do it. But the Bible tells me I pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. This is my absolute. I believe it. And the Bible teaches I can have eternal life. I believe it. That's my state of mind. And I'm working on the other part as much as I can as to not sleeping. I get caught between the rock and the hard place on some things right there because I don't want to die, and I'm not planning to. That's sort of taken care of. But as to sleep, you know, I'd love to be like Jesus, and he went through that. And I'd love to experience, as he did, the things he did. And I have no fear of it. It doesn't hold any terror to me at all. It's just a long passage that you go through. If you miss it, then that means for eternity you don't have the experience. But anyway, that's beside the point. You wouldn't even understand that kind of thing. But I think on a lot of things, you know, the Bible said he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And I judge all things as to how I feel about the situation and what it's like. But there's one thing about it I want to live. I believe in life, and the thing that I want to do is live from now on. That I want to do. Sleep doesn't bother me. I go to sleep and get up. I think we sleep too much. Wish we'd get away from some of that. Seems like it takes half our life sleeping. You understand what I'm saying, folks? If you believe I'm lying, check it out. Getting back to the original thought, don't go around branding things, saying things that you don't know nothing about. Like the woman in India, I said, lady, you only have something from the news media and you're a person of reputation. And what you're saying is very injurious because you are a person that's of renown. I said, you need to know what you're talking about before you open your mouth to say things. And I said, the things that you're saying, I happen to know I'm from America. And I know what's going on over there. I said, and what you're saying is absolutely not right. She didn't appreciate that. She was a big voice. But anyway, folks, before we say things, we need to know what we're saying. Because what a great fire a little matter kindleth. And just those two men running their mouth, or because of their error of putting something with something that it shouldn't have been put with, created a problem that has been unreal. You say, well, why did God do it, Brother Pike? God didn't do it. The devil done it. But why did God let it in that he has his way? It was to keep this thing to where the philosophers and the professional men couldn't get it because they run after it when I first come here. They wanted to swallow it up. And God wanted to put a little mud on the Jordan so that they wouldn't know the virtue was there and that Christ was going to be in those waters. And so God covered it up so that the babe could grow up. And when the babe grows up, then the mud goes off of the water. It becomes the most beautiful thing in the world. And nobody can't spot it or blemish it. They can't do nothing about it. So it's come up, and it's come up. It's come up with more people and more people and even professional people. Numbers of them are beginning to praise it. And it's like the vision I saw where they turned and they said, we made a great mistake. This is a great thing that we've got in our midst. So you stop the mouth of the gainsayers. When these people start saying that, say, look, whether I'm son, whether I'm daughter, whether you're mama or daddy, or whether you're brother or sister, you listen to me. You need to stop and find out what you're talking about before you run your mouth. Somebody used the terms, you need to get in gear before you start running your mouth. You know, and you need to, Paul said, there's some mouths that need to be stopped. They go about subverting whole households. And a lot of innocent people, because of the influential thing of intellectual people, they are hurt. So you just boldly stand before them and say, I don't believe it. When they say thus and thus, say, prove it to me. And say, if we're going to analyze in detail, let's take your religion too, and let's go down the line with it in the Bible. If you're going to take my religion, we'll take it to the Bible. That's what the foundation is. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter if it's Baptist, Methodist. It doesn't matter if it's Catholic, Presbyterian, Church of Science, Pentecostal. So this is the foundation of it. Let's go back and see who's right and who's wrong. If you're going to analyze mine, you're going to take the liberty to do that. I'm going to take the liberty to do the same thing to yours. And we'll see which is which. All right, let's stand together. You know, you can't be wishy-washy. The Bible says, that we are bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. So you need your boldness. You need your boldness in God. I'm going to read this while you're standing. Chapter 1, St. Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Okay. I remember the Spirit speaking some of that as we prophesied up the street of Dolorosa as we walked down the street of the holy city. All right, the time is at hand. Someone asked me yesterday, I guess it was, said, how did John baptize? He baptized, as I told them, with water unto repentance. Saying, believe on the name which is to come. And then the question is, if everybody was baptized in the name of Jesus, because the book of Acts teaches that that's the way it was with the 3,000 of the first church. And today this is the same church because there's only one church. The question arises, how was Jesus baptized? In what name was he baptized? If John baptized him, he went through the baptism of repentance. Though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. being made perfect, thus he become the author and the finisher of our salvation. For the Bible said he grew in stature and he grew in wisdom and he grew in favor with man. But how then was he baptized? He was baptized in the name of Jesus. Because he was the name of Jesus. It was his Father's name. So he was baptized in his own name, saying, "This is him." John said, "This is him." And how can I be baptized? In the name of Jesus. For the remission of sin. Why? Because baptism is for the remission. Remission of sin is in the name. John, somebody said, "Well, how could he baptize the way he did, Brother Pike, if he didn't have the name?" Because you said to be baptized in the name of Jesus is for the remission of sin. That is true. But see, I also said that water is for the remission. John baptized for the remission, saying, "Believe on the name." So then, when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you still have water for the remission. But the thing is, Paul rebaptized in the 19th chapter of Acts because remission is in the name. So water is for the remission, but remission is in the name. For the Bible said a remission of sin shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Our book on water baptism, going into the foreign places. We get mail, and they say, "Brother Pike, this has opened our mind. This has opened our understanding. And people that have fought us or been against us, it has opened their mind to believe in the name of Jesus for remission of sin." So then, the name in which remission is, water for remission, as to the burying, the grave, as to the dead. And then the minister, the Bible said, "As my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins, you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins, you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So then the minister to remit the sins, water baptism for the remission of sin, and the name of Jesus in which there is remission of sin. So you can baptize all day and not use the name of Jesus. You haven't done anything. Let's sing a chorus together. While John was baptizing, that was fine because the name had not yet come. But when the name came, it was a different thing. It was a different thing. Like the horse and the buggy. It was fine until the Cadillac came. Somebody says, "Well, I still run my horse and buggy." Well, you better stay off the main thoroughfare. Like a little story, man got on the thoroughfare. They said it happened. He got on the thoroughfare and finally he just pulled off. And they said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I just can't make the speed limit." He said, "It says 50. He said he couldn't make it. He couldn't get up to it, or 60, whatever it was. So you better stay off the main thoroughfare because this is a new day, folks. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing the song, "There's Room at the Cross." Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. While we sing now, the altars are open.
you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. And let's sing this little chorus.
Sweep over my soul.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Evermore, sing it again. Oh, we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? Nothing like being a Christian. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one. He's my everything. He's my all. He's my everything, both great and small. I don't want your gold and silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me He's everything. Can you sing that chorus? I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me He's everything. One more time. I don't need your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me He is everything. Don't you feel that way about it? I'll go with Him through garden. I'll go.
garden, I'll go with him all the way. For where he leads me, I will follow. And glory, he will give me his grace and his glory, and I'll go with him all the way.
Let's bow our heads together. I'll go with him. I'll go with him all the way. Sometimes everything ain't too rosy. Sometimes everything it ain't just exactly the way I'd like to have it to be, and I'm sure it isn't the way that you'd like to have it. But there's one thing about it. If he has his way in the good and evil, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, if he rules in the affairs of mankind, there's one thing that you and I can rest assured of, and that is that everything's going to be all right. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. For the Bible said, those that he did foreknow, elect according to foreknowledge them that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Them that he foreknew, he called. He justified, he sanctified, he glorified. What can we then say if God be for us? Who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justified it. It is Christ that died for us, having been delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. This gives us hope. Every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. So then, we're the sheep of his own pasture. We're the people that belong to him. Folks, with God, I tell you before the living God, I'm not worthy to stand here and talk to you. As to God, Solomon said, who can speak to so great a people, man or woman? If you are a real, genuine, blood-bought son of God, having been born again, then that means that ye are God's and you're eternal, and no human being is worthy to even speak to you. No human being, because they are nothing but beast, and you're their master. But without God, you're not anything. You're not anything. You're so mighty if you are God's, because you'll never perish. You have the splendors and riches and the magnificence of heaven. You own eternity. Talking about Revelation last night, something great was taking place, and as the thing appeared as to the coming of the Lord, as to the revelational mind of Christ, little David Clyde walked in with a picture of Jesus, wanted to show it to me, and it was Jesus surrounded by the clouds coming in the great pillar of clouds. The cloud, the pillow of cloud, the cloud, the fire by night, a cloud of fire that is to the blood of the Son of God, the life that was in that blood, that pulp, as to the semen. It was there, following them wherever they went. That same Jesus, coming back to earth with 10,000 angels to execute judgment upon them that do evil and them that are wicked. What have you done for him in your life, folks? What are you still doing? Remember, if you've got breath, irregardless to your age, if you've got breath, young or old, if you've got breath, if you can think, if you can understand, then you're accountable. And if you are, and if you understand, then you still have a chance. You still have a chance. If you are not of the age of understanding, you're not of the age of accountability. So you're all right, you're saved. For the him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You have opportunity. It's up to you as to what you'd like to do. But while you've got your heads bowed, I'd like for you to just lift your hands up to the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Bradley, if you will, to come and dismiss us. As Mike comes, think upon the things that I say to you from time to time. I try to take my time and I try to talk with you because I want to see you excel in Christ. And I tell you from my heart, these things that I'm telling you, they're heavenly treasures. You can have them in the earthen vessels. For now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God. And these things is what spoke the diamonds, the pearls, the rubies, the hills, the stars, the sea, all into existence. It's the true treasure. The gold, the silver. And I'm telling you from my heart, if you will serve God and love God, and not be hypocritical, but be genuine, you are a great and mighty thing in the earth and will continue throughout eternity. A great and a mighty thing that there is no words of description for. There is no vocabulary expression that can give forth utterance as to what you are and as to your greatness. And that is the truth without exaggeration. So you're mighty. You should be about your Father's business because you're mighty. Mighty gods. And if you're not a Christian, then you're nothing but the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And you'll perish. All that is of the world will perish with the world. But Jesus said, I'm not of this world. I came from heaven. If you are not of this world, if you came from heaven, if you was in his foreknowledge as elect, and you came from heaven, and you're born of him, in that if he came from heaven, you are born of that heavenly one, and you are born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he was the beginning of the creation of God, and that's what you are. But if you're born of the first man, Adam, it is unto the rejection, it is unto the fall, it is unto be putting out of the garden to sorrows and heartaches, an ever diminishing thing. But as to the resurrection, not as unto the offense as to which the first man Adam was delivered, but as unto the resurrection, as to the second man Adam, the quickening spirit. If it is as unto him, then I just don't have the words of description because of your greatness. But as you stand here, Mike's going to pray with you. As he comes to pray with you, consider the things that I'm saying. Folks, remember, these words are words of life. Jesus just a man, like I'm a man. He talked, he said, my words are life. Not me speaking, but my heavenly Father. Words of life. These are words of life. Eternal life. And if you can hear my voice, if you can accept it, if you can follow me, as Jesus said, then he'll lead you into the green pastures, make you to lie down beside the still waters. He'll feed you the heritage of Jacob. He'll bless you, make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Sorrow will not come nigh your dwelling.